1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Past 8 or 9 Sundays, we've been discussing the doctrine of grace. The 5 points of, some call Calvinism, the 5 points of grace, which are simply the gospel. That man is totally depraved and cannot save himself. That God has unconditionally elected a people unto salvation. And that Jesus Christ has invaded history and come to this earth and died in their room, stead, and place and actually redeemed them, bought them, paid their sin debt, bought them out of and off of the slave market of sin, never to return again. And then the doctrine of irresistible grace, that all God has chosen, elected, and redeemed shall be drawn irresistibly to Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. And that all of the elect, all of those that have been foreloved, shall surely be glorified. And we love Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, and following passages. We do not quibble, we do not fight over Romans 8, but rejoice in knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we rejoice in this fact, that God has foreloved a people, for whom He did forelove, before love, He did also predestinate. And whom He predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And did not lose a one. And we rejoice in that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now some may ask, why does the pastor keep hammering the doctrine of election? Why do I keep preaching this doctrine that God has chose a people unto salvation? Why preach such a doctrine? I'm going to give you a very simple answer. Because it's in God's Word. If it were not in God's Word, it should not be preached. But since it's in God's Word, it ought to be preached. The doctrine of election is the Word of God. Why are you looking at me that way? Well, let me make it plain. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Is that in your Bible? Then that ought to be preached. Say, well, I don't get it. Doesn't make any difference. It's the Word of God. Some would answer, some truths ought to be kept back from the common folk because they'll make bad use of it. You know, when you say that, what you're saying is exactly what the Catholic Church did several hundred years ago when they kept the Bible from the people. They kept it back from them lest they misuse it, that they weren't able to grasp it. Let me tell you, dear friends, all truth is revealed truth. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth to all God's people. He takes the scales off of their eyes. Besides, those of you who don't have your Bibles today, I would say to you very clearly that I can lie to you. How do you know I'm not lying? You better check me out. Because if I don't tell you the truth, you go to hell. Get you a Bible. Don't come to church without your Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in the Gospel of John. Search the Scriptures. He gave a search warrant to every one of us. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I've heard that the doctrine of election is dangerous. It's dangerous. Let me tell you what's dangerous. Truth is never dangerous. Error is dangerous. When we take the doctrine of election and we say this, and this is the truth, whatever shuts us up to this, that salvation is of the Lord from first to last. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, He's the beginning and the end and everything in between. If you are saved, you are not saved by works. You are saved by grace alone. You did not first call on God, He first called on you. You did not first choose God, He first chose you. And so the doctrine of election says this, God chose a people that no man can number unto salvation. That's why I believe more people are going to be in heaven than in hell. Because God's not going to let the devil win. You people who believe in the sovereignty of God and election believe that just a little handful is going to heaven. Yes, but look whose hands it is. Say, but Pastor, you know, this once saved, always saved, this salvation by grace message, you know, people will abuse that. People will abuse that. Yes, they will. But if we destroyed everything that men misuse, we'd have nothing left. Spurgeon said, are we to get rid of all ropes because some fool will hang himself? Or because some fool will smoke him? Should we get rid of all knives because someone will use them as a dangerous weapon? Of course not. Men and women are going to read the Scriptures and think about this doctrine. And often they'll make mistakes about election. Who then shall set them right if we don't? We who know the Word of God, we who have studied the Word of God, if we don't rightfully declare the doctrine of election, it's in the Bible. And therefore it needs to be preached and it needs to be rightly declared. Remember this, that the sun ripens the noxious weed just as it does the fruitful plant. But that's not the fault of the sun, but of the nature of the weed itself. Is that right? If you're so depraved and you take the doctrine of election and say, you know, what is to be will be, whether it ever happens or not, I can live like hell and still go to heaven, you're a noxious weed. It's not the doctrine of election's fault that you think that way. You're just a depraved rebel. Okay. It's important while preaching the doctrine of election that we're balanced in proclaiming the doctrine of election. I mean by that, we balance the doctrine of election this way, that man is totally depraved. Total depravity. In other words, man is dead. So man being dead in sins and trespasses means that a salvation must come from outside himself. Because he's dead to God. Dead men don't walk, dead men don't talk, dead men don't choose Christ. So if a dead man is to have life, somebody's got to choose the dead man. And somebody with power has to come to the cemetery and give him life. And that in itself is election. That you didn't come to God, God first came to you. Somebody said, I found the Lord. He wasn't lost. You were lost. And he found you, aren't you glad? Now, if you take the doctrine of election and preach it exclusively, in other words, that's just all you preach, election, election, you might well distort it. You take my handsome face. a face like mine, and you simply major on my nose, and that's all you talk about is my nose. Pretty soon, just talking about my nose, it gets so big that it distorts the whole face. See, already some of you are thinking, he does have a big nose. So, you balance this doctrine of election with total depravity. Because see, if you get to thinking God chose you because you were better than somebody else, you become a Pharisee. God didn't choose you because you were better than somebody else, because you were not. There is no difference. All have sinned and missed the mark. But God did choose you, and you ought to be happy about it. Amen. So what is the doctrine of election? There is such a thing, and it's taught clearly in Scripture. Remember, as we talk of election, that man is not a robot simply because God has chosen him. We're not like Big Ben in England, the clock, you know, where the little robot, the little men come out, and they hit that bell, bong, bong. Man is not a robot because of predestination and election. There is no such thing as free will, by the way. I thought God gave everybody a free will. Man's will is enslaved to his nature. And man's nature is depraved. Nobody forced you to go to the crack house. You went willingly. You liked it. Nobody had you by the hair of the head and forced you to use heroin, commit adultery. You just kind of willingly do it. Your will is enslaved to your nature. But free agency is a different matter. And what that means is simply this. God never saves a man against his will. When God saves a person, they want to be saved more than anything else in the world. Because God has done a job on them. God has regenerated them. God has born them again. God has given them life. And you better get out of their way because they're coming to Christ. Nothing will stop them. They long for Christ. They hunger and thirst for Christ. They're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come willingly. You don't have to drag them by the hair of your head. Nobody is drugged to heaven. I heard a preacher's kid say, I used drugs when I was a kid. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged. We come willingly to Christ. We long for Christ. I don't know exactly where the free agency of man and the sovereignty of God meet, but both are great truths. God has predestinated everything. I got two amens on that three. God has predestinated everything. I'm going to tell you, God has not dropped the reins to this universe. He's still in charge. He's a mighty big God. He's a God of plan and purpose. There are no accidents with God. No such thing as rabbit's foot luck and spitting on horseshoes and throwing them over your left shoulder and black cats crossing your path. God is a God of purpose and plan. And yet man is responsible. For man acts freely. Now, if that's true and man must believe to be saved, does he not then have a free will? And some believe because their will are better than others, they're saved. You see, when you start talking about, let me ask you this. You got three brothers. Two of them are very successful. You're a drug addict, or were. And while your two brothers are very respectable men, they do not love Christ. They're not Christians. They don't go to God's house. They don't rejoice in the gospel. But after 25 years of drug use, you have come to know Christ, and you rejoice in Christ. Now let me ask you, were you saved because you were better than your brothers? No, God was gracious to you. That's right. That, again, is election. That's what I'm talking about. You're not saved because you're better than someone. God didn't choose you because He foresaw you were going to believe on Jesus. There would have been no need for God to choose you if you're going to believe on Jesus anyway. God chose you by sovereign grace. He chose you because it was the good pleasure of His will. There was no difference. You were a piece of dung on the dunghill. He picked this piece of dung And this other piece of dung looked just like this piece of dung, but he chose this piece of dung and didn't choose this one. I know what you're saying. That's not fair. We're not talking about being fair. We're talking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's what we're talking about. It's a humbling thought to know God chose me. Me! You know who's most surprised about my salvation? Me! And when I get to heaven, the Lord's not going to hear the last of it either. You see, it's God who makes the difference in regeneration. It's God who causes us to be willing. It's God who did that. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what is thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? God makes the difference. You wouldn't say that you're saved because you're better than somebody else, would you? You wouldn't say you're saved because of your goodness, would you? The truth is, say, well, Pastor, sounds like a mighty harsh God. You're looking at it in the wrong way. You know what? There are people sitting in this auditorium. You have spent 30 years in and out of the crack house. 30 years, and you're still going back. And you know what? God's been mighty good to you. You're still alive. God's been merciful to you down in the hood. Flip the coin on the other side. Some of you are as lost as the crack addict in the hood, and you've been in church all your life, and you're still lost and without God, and you think you're better than the crack addict. God's been mighty good to you. He should have killed you, Pharisee, sitting in the church house, being a hypocrite, thinking yourself better. Somebody ought to say amen around here. It's true. I don't want to just pick on the crack addict. There's some church addicts in here. Just as addicted, and you don't sing Amazing Grace. You sing Amazing Me. God's merciful to everybody. But He's more merciful to some. Because He turned some of us inside out and said, here, look at yourself. You're not so cute, are you? He born us again. In the power of the Holy Spirit, He born us again. Oh, He came to me. He came to me when I would not and come to Him. He came to me. That's the truth. He found me. This election, this choice of God is a sovereign choice. He chooses whom He will. You going to call God into account? That's what Paul says in Romans 9. You going to call God into account? Well, why did you choose Him and not her? You going to call God into account, are you? The Bible says God elected a people. Now you going to question God about it? God would say to you, who art thou, O man? Who art thou, O man? Can I not do with my own as I please? The truth is, and I know a lot of folks don't like this, but God can save you or damn you and still be God. God doesn't have to look your way. Well, I just want to get what I deserve. Don't worry about it, baby, if that's all you want. God will see to it that you get it. As for me, I'd like to have a whole lot of mercy and a whole lot of grace. God has a right, seeing we're all criminals, to punish us all. We've all broken the law. I'm talking about His law. All have sinned and missed the mark. All have transgressed. There is none good, no, not one. None. Election is sovereign. When you come to see it, you are amazed. God chose me. The worm, the maggot that I am, God chose me. And God works in me. And God keeps me keeping on. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And it's all according to the counsel of His own will that He chose us. Election's free. It's not earned. Even so, Father, because it seemed good in Thy sight. Jesus said in the 17th chapter of the book of John, Father, You have loved them, the elect, as you have loved me, and you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. Election's irreversible. Aren't you glad it's irreversible? You better be glad God doesn't change His mind. Hey, you didn't get saved and surprise God. God didn't go one day, John, just trust in me. Let me write his name down. While God's looking down at the book, writing his name down, he looks up. John, what happened? John, you just messed up. Those names were written there before the foundation of the world, and while eternity rolls on, those names will still be there. We've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. We're all mess ups. But His election is irreversible. His election is effectual. As I've already said, those that He foreloved, He predestinated. He predetermined them. Oh, you were out there in Lodibar, the dead dog that you were, like Mephibosheth, out there lame on both your feet, like the baby in Ezekiel 16 in the open field, laying in your own blood, helpless and hopeless. But God had already elected you. There you were in the hood, but God was going to bring you to the neighborhood. God watched over you in all of your insanity, but you were blood marked, and the Holy Spirit was going to fetch you out of your lowly bar. It's effectual. He's going to draw you to Himself. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and in tender kindness have I drawn thee. Before I formed thee in thy mother's belly, I loved you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I set you aside. I sanctified you. Election is personal. Jesus said this, I know my sheep by name. You know, as you get older, you forget names. Every once in a while, I go, I got two daughters. But God doesn't forget the names of His kids. He calls His kids by name. He knows their name. He knows their circumstance. He knows where they are at all times. He knows where they are. Election is a doctrine that you hardly grasp at the beginning of your spiritual and religious life. You know, some of you probably in here going, I've just become a Christian. Is he saying? Yeah, he's saying. And I want you to hear it. Even though you might not enter into it full-fledged this morning, I do want you to be introduced to it. That you're saved because God chose you. I want you to know that. Now, you know, if we're going to teach our children to pray, we don't begin by teaching them to pray by saying, now the first thing you say is amen. That's not the way you start your prayer. And so to those of you who are but babes in Christ, and those who have spiritual life and you don't even know it yet, but there's a hungering and a thirsting in you. God has put that in you. You've already been born of God. By the time you want to get saved, you already are. Because dead men don't want to get saved. By the time you want to get saved, it's already happened. You already have spiritual life. Oh, you're not getting that, are you? Let me make it a little plainer. How many of you can remember when you were born? When you came out of your mother's womb? No takers? Well, how do you know you're alive? How do you know you're alive? The first thing most of us did was when that doctor or somebody gave us that first whack was, whack! And mom knew we had life. Saved people have life before they know it. You're still not getting it. Listen, by the time you began to long to know Jesus Christ, it's already happened. Now it's time for you to be reconciled and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And trust Christ. Don't be worrying about election right now. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometime or other you're going to find out, hey, He chose me before I was ever born. This wasn't an accident. He wasn't lost. I didn't found Him. He found me. I didn't first call on Him. He first called on me. He tracked me down. The hound of heaven got on my trail and tracked me down. Be surprised where the Lord found some of us. It wasn't in Sunday school. Yeah. I understand that this is a little difficult. All truth is revealed truth, by the way. You won't get this unless God takes the scales off your eyes. In fact, we are all salvation by works people by nature. We just want to have a big part in saving ourselves. And all over the world, preachers are saying this. God has done all He can. God has done everything He can. If that's true, we're in trouble. And all you crack addicts are in big trouble. If God has done all He can, if God is waiting on you, aren't you glad? Every crack addict in here, every heroin addict, everybody that's saved ought to be glad that He didn't wait on you. That prodigal son was down in the hog pen, and the Bible says when he was a long way off, the father saw him. The father knew he was coming home. The father drew him out of the hog pen and ran out to meet him. The doctrine of election is not inconsistent with the invitations and promises found in the Word of God, such as this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." I can say that today. Are you burdened and heavy laden? Say, well, what if I'm not elected? Don't worry about that right now. I'll tell you this. If you're burdened and heavy laden, you were elected. Have you ever noticed how people who are so messed up seem so free? People with mess act like they're free. When God quickens you, you see the burden, the load of sin. You've seen what you've done in your life and how you've sinned against God. And God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden's light." So what do I say to you here? Those of you who have spiritual life, those of you who are hungry and thirsting after Christ, I say, come to Christ. Come just as you are, without one plea, without moving a muscle. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right where you are, and thou shalt know that thou art saved. Trust Christ. That's my message to you. And you will find out that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Get hold of Christ. Election does not deliver you from your duty. It's your duty to believe on Christ. You're commanded to believe on Christ. May God help you to believe on Him. And your business right now, whether you understand election or not, your business right now is to trust Christ. Election is a doctrine that sanctifies you. People have said about me for many, many years that I give people a license to sin. You know, pastor believes once saved, always saved. When God saves you, He just keeps you and takes you all the way. They got that right. They got that part right. They say, pastor believes once saved, always saved. They got that right, too. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. People say, pastor gives people the right to sin, a license to sin. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you, before you sin, buy a license? How many of you say, you know, I need to go see pastor because he's selling license to sin? I'm about to relapse, so pastor, can you give me one of those licenses? The doctrines of grace will sanctify you. Let me tell you this, grace will make you holy. You don't even know how unholy you are till grace gets a hold of you. And then you find out that God is holy, 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 and you're not. And that creates a problem. And then you come to understand the gospel, how that justice had a demand. that you be punished for your sin. And God sent His only begotten Son as a substitute to die as the Lamb of God in your stead and in your place. And God took your sins off you and punished Him. And now you love God. You're not serving God to try to earn your right to heaven. You're serving God because you love Him. Yes. And I'll tell you this. If the grace of God doesn't sanctify you, it's not worth having. It's impossible to go from no faith to faith with no change. There's going to be a change. And there's going to be a radical change. You're going to love the things that you once hated and hate the things you once loved, even when you do them. How many times in 23 years here have I seen a little child of God relapse and come back this way? I hate what I did, Pastor. I hate what I did. I say, praise God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You went out, but you came back. You fell down, but you got up. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to persevere. The evidence of our election is the Word of God coming in power. I flat out tell you this. And I think this is what is missing in churches across America. Let me tell you this. The only spirit that can deal with the spirit of this age is the Holy Spirit. In case you don't know, there's a war going on. A real drug war, a pharmacia war out there in the streets of America. And there's only one spirit that can deal with the spirit of hell. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody say, I didn't know you believed in the Holy Ghost. I do with all of my heart and soul. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Christ said, I'm going away, but I'm going to be here. And He is here in the power of the Holy Spirit. And men and women only hear effectually. I can preach till my tongue rots off and never convert one person. The Holy Spirit in power has to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and put it on your inside and change you. And I'm asking you flat out, have you had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ where He has knocked you off your high horse and enthroned Himself in your heart where He is your Lord and Savior? Preaching is all null and void in conversion without the mysterious power of the Spirit of God. I wouldn't even come here today if I didn't believe that while I was preaching, the hound of heaven would start sniffing some sinner out. Go down the aisles of this church. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is not sitting down. He is active as the gospel goes forth. And He goes down these aisles and He passes by certain men and women and comes to others and borns them again. He is not an impotent Savior. Jesus Christ is not walking the corridors of heaven, wringing His hands, hoping somebody will give Him a chance. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you ever felt His power come on you? Yeah, He said, well now preacher, you know, preacher, be careful now, preacher, because salvation is not feeling. I understand that, but if you ever got saved, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. You're going to know something has taken hold of you. A power greater than yourself. You don't even understand you anymore. All you can say is, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Power. Wonder-working power. And when that power comes upon you, you're going to know it. And that power of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings assurance. Assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Isn't it a foretaste? It is. You may not be able to answer theological questions, but you have a blessed assurance. You may not be a theologian. You may not know the books of the Bible, but you have a blessed assurance. Now, I know I'm saved, because I was there when it happened. Something happened to me. Old Brother Barnard, I used to hear him tell this story. There was a banker who was president of a bank down in Georgia for 40 years, and he had the same secretary. Her name was Mary. And the banker was a rough old cuss, and God saved him. He didn't tell anybody. One day he called Mary in the office. He said, "Mary, I want you to take some dictation. I'm going to dictate a letter to you." He was dictating the letter, and as he was dictating the letter, he heard Mary sniffing. Said he looked up and tears were streaming down her cheek. And the president of the bank said, "Why, Mary, what's wrong? Have I said something to hurt you?" She said, "No. I just want to know what's happened to you. Something's happened to you. I've been in here for 40 years with you. You're a changed man. Don't tell anybody you're saved till somebody wants what you have." Amen. Somebody ought to want your peace that passes all understanding. Your joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's people ought to be having a little heaven on the way to heaven. None of God's children ought to be saying, "My life sucks. Not another day, another dollar, but this is the day the Lord's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it." Not "good Lord, it's morning," but "good morning, Lord." Election. Spiritual joy. You ever got so happy in God's house you couldn't hardly stand it? I used to think there was wrong with some folks who got happy and had those running fits. Till I got to having them at home. Somebody gets happy in church and everybody goes, "Why shouldn't you be happy in church? You're heaven bound. You're God's choice. He has redeemed you. He has washed you in His own blood." There ought to be a happiness. We've already seen a few weeks ago that David danced because God chose him. And Michael mocked him. And David said, "You haven't seen anything yet. I'm about to really get out." We shouldn't be intimidated with regard to our joy. How about, have you ever been alone with Jesus in your closet? I was telling the first crowd here about how sometimes in my study, nobody's home. I'm intimidated by people, you know. A lot of times by Miss Pam. Intimidated. But when nobody's home, just me and the Lord, I can scream all I want to. Hallelujah! Why, I get almost Pentecostal sometimes. Me, the old Baptist. The chosen frozen. I'm going to tell you this. Worshiping God is an instinct. It's a pleasure. Worshiping God is a holy thing. It's a joyous delight. My prayer today is, in talking about election and the grace of God, the goodness of God, that you today, right now, will trust Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there's some babies in here. So we can't feed them steak. We need to give you babies the milk of the Word. You're a sinner. Christ died for sinners. Trust Christ. That's baby food. There's some young men and women in here, middle-aged spiritually. If we feed you, you know, more than milk, We give you some mashed potatoes and gravy, some green beans. Tastes good, and you can digest that. But now there's some of you have been saved a mighty long time. If you know the doctrines of grace, we're going to get you a T-bone. That God elected you, predestinated you, called you, justified you, and will surely glorify you. Enjoy your T-bone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.